Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Bolsa Mexicana de Valores third quarter 2015 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. We will have a question and answer session later on, and the instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require assistance during this conference, press star and then zero. As a reminder, now let's welcome our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Ramón Güemez Sarre. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning. I would like to welcome you all to Bolsa Mexicana de Valores third quarter 2015 earnings conference call. Before proceeding, I'd like to provide a brief safe harbor statement. This presentation contains forward-looking statements and information related to Bolsa that are based on the analysis and expectations of its management, as well as assumptions made and information currently available at the Bolsa. Such statements reflect current views of Bolsa related to future events and are subject to risk, uncertainties, and assumptions. Many factors could cause the current results, performance, or achievements of Bolsa to be somewhat different from any future results, performance, or achievements that may be expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements, including, among others, changes in general economic, political, governmental, and business conditions, both in a global scale and in the individual countries in which the Bolsa does business, such as changes in monetary policies, in inflation rates, in prices, in business strategy, and various other factors. Should one or more of these risks or uncertainties materialize and prove incorrect, actual results may vary considerably from those described herein as anticipated, believed, estimated, expected, or targeted. Bolsa does not intend and does not assume any obligation to update these forward-looking statements. I would also like to remind participants that today's call is being recorded, and a replay of this call will be available online on October 29th at the Bolsa's corporate website, www.bmv.com.mx. During this call, and as we have done in past quarters, 2014 figures will be presented in order to consider Indeval's full consolidation. All figures are in Mexican pesos unless stated otherwise. As you know, this call is intended for the financial community only, and the floor will be open at the end to address any questions you may have. As always, all figures are in pesos and compared to the third quarter of 2014, except otherwise stated. Joining us for today's call are José Oriol Bosch, CEO, Pedro Zorrilla, Senior Vice President, Corporate Services, José Manuel Allende, Senior Vice President, Strategic Planning and Business Development, Vice President, Technology, Gabriel Rodríguez, General Manager of SIF ICAP, Paula Zorrilla, our Investor Relations Manager, and myself, Ramón Güemez, CFO. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Oriol Bosch.
Good morning, and welcome to our third quarter 2015 conference call. First of all, I want to comment on the positive results we have had so far. Revenues have grown every quarter this year, while we have managed to contain expenses. Our year-to-date EBITDA margin is the highest ever, 49.7%, with net income of 593 million. We are comfortable we will meet our guidance. Now, I want to start talking about the release of FIBRA-E, a new asset class and a key initiative for the country, as well as for the Mexican exchange, one that we believe will give an impulse to the energy and infrastructure sectors in a way. On October 5th, we had its official launching, and now we expect the FIBRA-E to be listed in the following months. We are currently working with the financial authorities on some final details that could have an impact on the development of this financial instrument if issued by the private sector. At the same time, the government announced the development of another new asset class called SERPI, Certificate of Investment Projects, that will complement the existing SECADES to finance greenfield projects, as well as the issuance of a new educator government bonds for a potential amount of 50 billion pesos in the next 5 years. Regarding the new regulations in derivative markets, we are confident that this will have a positive impact for Asigna and MexDer due to the implementation of the following changes: the increase of capital requirements for all OTC contracts that are not cleared through a recognized CCP that is taking effect this month, the mandatory trading of all the standardized derivatives in recognized markets, being as well as their mandatory clearing through an authorized CCP like Asigna, to be effective as of April 2016, and the change in the mark-to-market rule for the Afores as of January 1st that will allow them to value both OTC and listed derivatives at the same exchange rate. Regarding the delisting of mutual funds, we reach an agreement whereby they will remain listed as we will reduce their maintenance fee. The impact for this year will be around 8 million pesos compared to the previous year and another 7 million for 2016. We believe we could partially offset this with new services and contracts that we will provide them in the future years. Additionally, as you may recall, on April 24th of this year, the Shareholders Assembly agreed to a capital reduction of 76.9 million, equivalent to 12 cents per share, effective on October 1st. Accordingly, we distributed this amount amongst our shareholders on the said date. Moving on to the acquisition of Indeval shares, we have now paid 38 of the 39 shares, and we are in the process of paying the last one. New regulations require a continuous update of our processes and systems, even though we are now implementing a culture of optimization and cost reduction. These changes could mean new expenses for the group, as always, but the Bolsa will fulfill every regulation and look for the most efficient way to do it. Last but not least, I want to point out that this October, we reached 12 consecutive months without one single second of market halts. We are very proud of this, and we think it speaks very highly of our technology trading platform. Let me now move on to our financial results. As you recall, 2014 numbers are pro forma and considering the Vals consolidation. In summary, year-to-date revenues grew 9.8%, while expenses were contained at 4.7%. EBITDA reached 959 million, and EBITDA margin was 49.7%, above our guidance. This leads to a year-to-date net income of 592.5 million, in line with our expectation of full-year net 100 and 820 million. Total revenue for the quarter were 669 million pesos, 40 million pesos above third quarter 2014. Let me review this by business line. Cash equities trading and clearing revenues were 61 and 48 million respectively, growing 6% and 7%. This is driven by daily average traded value, which increased from 11.5 billion in the third quarter of 2014 to 12.5 quarter. Derivatives, MEXDER revenues were 19.8 million, down 8.6%, mainly due to less trading in the US dollar contract. In the case of Asigna, revenues were 20 million, 34% below last year. Revenues for Asigna are falling more than those of MEXDER because of margin deposits. Average margin deposits this year are 17 billion pesos compared with 29 billion pesos for 2014. This is linked to the reduced trading. CFI caps revenues grew by 13%. Growth is coming from both Chile and Mexico. Locally, we have seen increased activity in the bond and IRS markets. Listing and maintenance revenues are growing 4%. This reflects a 1.4% growth in maintenance fee and 18% growth in listing revenues. Listing revenues are driven mostly by amounts raised in the short term, which this quarter grew by 41%. Two deals during the current quarter, NEMAC for 12.4 billion pesos and Elementia for 3.9 billion pesos. This brings the year-to-date number to 6 equity deals, 4 IPOs and 2 follow-ons. Custody revenues increased by 1 million to 126 million pesos. Revenues in information services grew 24%. Valmer grew at 20% as a result of extraordinary valuations and operational risk assessments, while our markets data business line grew 22%. This growth reflects the appreciation of the U.S. dollar, the updating of our databases, and new customers. Expenses for the quarter amounted to $336 million, 1.8% above third quarter 2014. Personal expenses grew by 1.6 million pesos, or 0.9%, totaling 184 million, slightly above our expectation due to higher CIF revenues. Technology costs are 38% higher than last year. This is explained mostly by the uneven recognition of expenses during 2014, as year-to-date average expenses are 6% above 2014. Growth versus the immediately previous quarter is explained by the timing of licensing expenses. As I have explained before, the reduction in CIFICAP Chile fees of our JV in Chile. All these income and expense results led us to an operating margin for the quarter of 49.8% and an EBITDA margin of 51.9%. At the bottom line, we posted net income of $211 million, an increase of 5% compared to the same period of last year. Cash flow generated during the first 9 months of the year is $282 million. It is the net effect of income, maintenance $169 million, dividend paid in May. With these results, I think we are on our way to reach our guidance of net income in the range of 800 to 820 million pesos, and for EBITDA margin between 48 and 49%. With this, I conclude my presentation, and my colleagues and I are ready to take any questions you may have.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, press on your telephone. To remove yourself from the queue, just press the pound key. Again, for questions, just press the star key and the number one. And our first question is from the line of Gabriel Guzman from Bradesco. Your line is now open.
Hi. I have a question about what to expect for costs going forward. First, overall, you showed very good results, especially in the personnel line. But I'd like to know a bit more, some color about what to expect. You mentioned that you are expanding only 6% over the average of 2014, but still the line is growing 27% when you compare what is accumulated in three quarters. So, again, what can we expect going forward? Thank you.
Gabriel, hi, this is Ramon Grimes. I think for Q4, we would expect technology expenses to be a little below this quarter, but not significantly below. For next year, we're working to try to streamline so that we get the average number per quarter more stable. But we have certain expenses that are occurring during the second half of the year, and that's why you're going to see higher expenses during the second half than the first half. If you look at the historical or the 2014 numbers, you can see that Q4 of last year was very high, and that's why we're making provisions for these expenses.
Okay, so if you're thinking about 2016, can you still expect it expanding in the double digits, or should we see some sort of deceleration?
No. No, we don't give a specific guidance on costs, but overall, I don't think technology cost would increase be above double digits.
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you very much, Ramon.
And our next question is from the line of Fred DeMaris from UBS. Your line.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. A couple of questions on my side. On the cost controls, just to follow up on the first question, you mentioned the technology side. What's your view on the personnel side, which I remember at the beginning of there was one of the focuses? And to be more specific, do you believe that you could have more decrease in the number of employees or more cuts in terms of costs? Or, you know, you think it's going to be more about technology when you think of cost control going forward? That's the first question. In terms of the second question, and derivatives was the only line where we had a decrease year over year. and you mentioned those encouraging news in terms of contracts and clearing and so on. So what's your view of, I know it's difficult to assess, but what's your realistic take in terms of, you know, the next quarters in terms of growth? And also linked to this, I remember last year at the end of the year, we had an impairment test on Asigna, and I was curious whether we could have anything similar this year as well in the fourth quarter. Thank you.
Fred, for cost for next year, again, we don't give specific guidance on cost, but we're not, we don't have a planned another large cost reduction initiative currently, more a cost containment. So overall, as we're working on our budget, we're trying to keep growth at a minimum, but we're not looking at another initiative to reduce headcount.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Regarding the possible impairment, every year during this fourth quarter, we do impairment tests on our on all our assets. The one in question is the Asigna. We're working with our auditors, and when we have something, we will publish it. But we're currently testing the goodwill we have.
Okay. Can you remind us what's the amount of goodwill you still have on Asigna?
480 million.
480. Okay.
And, 480.
And, okay. So that's an accounting technicality. When you think of it on the derivatives business, you know, what's your best view in terms of growth, or when do you think we hit the bottom?
Okay, Fred, let me tell you, the main difference in between the positive expectations on the MexDer and Asigna businesses during the past years and the current year are the changes in the regulations, not just in the in the local, in the global and local regulation. And as you know, the derivatives the trading world has been changing the past months or a few years, and now in Mexico is changing, and we are going to have, as of this month, we have some regulation that is having an impact on the cost of capital for derivatives for the financial institutions, local financial institutions. Then we are going to have a change that is taking place on January 1st that had a negative impact this year on the because of the valuation for the local pension funds in the FX derivatives. In April, we are going to have another change, important change. So we're all working on that, and we think that now there is a real and or a more real opportunity for us. We're working to take advantage as much as of we can in both in MexDer and Asigna. We're working with the main players. We're working with the financial authorities as well. But I think that it's hard to give an expectation on the growth that we could see in the next years.
Okay, no, that's very clear. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Fred.
And our next question is from the line of Tito Labarta from Deutsche Bank. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for the call. A couple of questions on your the SIF ICAP business continues to deliver, you know, pretty strong results, I guess, particularly in Chile. Just want to get a sense, and you know, in the past you said that the results didn't seem that sustainable, but you know, they continue to deliver. So just want to get a sense of, you know, how you see this business evolving going forward. Do you think the results can be sustainable now at these levels, or just want to get a sense of the outlook for that? And then second question, just in terms of your IPO pipeline, do you see any more deals through year end, or and how you see that maybe evolving through next year in terms of the deals that you have in the pipeline? Thank you.
Okay. Regarding the pipeline line, we think we can get 2 to 3 new IPOs by the end of the year on the equity side. Also, the SECADES, perhaps we can get 2 or 3 more for the year end. And on the debt side, the short and medium term, long and medium term debt, we're seeing a strong pipeline on the
requests that we're getting from big companies. They are getting new programs, some of them still confidential, but the amount that they are willing to put in the market, it's growing. So I'm positive for the end of the year, and perhaps some of them can jump the year by the beginning of the year, next year.
Okay, sorry, and the next question regarding C5 Cap Chile. We think that the market share we have is definitely sustainable. We're expecting similar results for the next year, and we clearly have a leadership in this business in this country that we are expecting to maintain. However, let me tell you that the results had a positive impact because of the depreciation of the Chilean peso. And this is something that will impact our numbers for the next year.
Thanks. Can you say how much was the impact from the depreciation? Hello?
Yeah, the growth we had from the previous year was around 13%, and we think that 8% was coming from an increase on our on the business, and the remaining balance, the other 5%, because of the Chilean peso depreciation.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's very helpful.
Thanks to you.
And our next question is from Marcelo Sintra from Goldman Sachs. Your line is now open.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is actually a follow-up on your initial explanations on the changing regulation. I just would like to verify the number that you mentioned about the delisting of the mutual funds. You mentioned that you expect a negative impact for this year and also next year. I just would like to check with you how much will be the impact on your results from the discounts that you're providing to the mutual funds. And then I will follow up with my second question. Thank you.
Marcelo, maintenance fees for mutual funds for last year were around 33 million pesos. For this year, we would expect them to be 8 million lower. And for 2016, we would expect them to be another 7, 8 million lower. And then stabilize around that level, around 18 million pesos. So we're reducing them by half.
No, okay, that's perfect. Thank you. And my second question is it's a more broad question here. It's just to verify with you guys what we should expect in terms of dividend payments going forward. There are some change in structure of the company recently, and I just would like to hear if we should expect any change in dividend payments and payout ratios. Thank you.
Well, as you know, we have to start paying back the Indeval loan. That's going to be a 200 million peso amortization per year. So we'll have to make that payment with a combination of cash on hand and dividend payment and reducing dividends. We are well aware that the dividend payment makes our stock attractive. So we will try to keep that as high as possible, but we are still analyzing which portion we will pay out from our own cash and which portion would impact dividend. That's something that has to be, well, that we're analyzing now. It has to be passed through our board for us to decide next February at latest.
Okay, so just to double check. So basically, you're going to have this offer and proposal to the board by April next year. That's it.
Well, in April, the shareholder assembly has to vote on a dividend. So yes, at latest, we have to do it. If you want to set the The furthest limits, yes, by April we have to have something, and your worst case scenario would be a reduction of 200 million pesos in dividend. Those would be your two extremes.
Yeah, yes, that's perfect. Thank you very much for the clarifications.
Perfect. Alex Espada.
And our next question is from Alex Espada from Itaúba. Your line is now open.
Thank you, guys. I have two questions. The first one is, there has been some news flow lately on a possible initiative of CME to establish a derivative CCP in Mexico under the leadership of Mr. Jorge Alegría. First question is, what's your take on this initiative? And then I'll come back with a second one. Thank you.
Well, I think that I cannot and I should not talk for CME, so this is not a question for us. What I can tell you is that we have a routing agreement with the CME, as you know, that is south to north and north to south, that we have a partnership and that we are very happy and comfortable with having a partnership with someone like the CME, but I cannot answer the rest of the question.
But can you at least confirm in confirmed by CME, or if that's just speculation at this point?
I don't know about it. And
okay.
It's something that I cannot confirm.
Okay.
Sorry, Alex.
No problem. And my second question is, can you already share with the market any expectations regarding the revenue generation potential of the clearing of OTC derivatives? And a follow another question here, is there a regulatory decisions in this front, or can we assume that the rules that are already in place are enough to really make the mandatory clearing of OTC derivatives start in 2016?
Well, I think that as far as I know, I think that all the rules are already out. And that the answer is yes. I think that all the rules are already in place and that are the rules that we were lacking in Mexico and that will support the growth and the development of some markets. And I think that those rules are going to provide much more transparency and efficiency in our markets.
And what about the expectations on revenue generation?
We don't have any specific expectation to give, Alex. It's very difficult to forecast that number. We're working on that, and when we have our 2016 guidance, we'll give that to the market. But we don't give guidance on a specific business line growth.
But what I can say is that the current base is very low, so any potential is going to add a lot of value to the company. And we are going to be very focused on that.
Okay, so just to clarify, you normally give guidance on the net income. So what you're saying is that in your 2016 net income guidance, you will be accounting for your own expectations on the revenue in this front, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's very clear. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Alex.
And our next question is from the line of Boris Molina from Santander. Your line is now open.
Yes. One question. Could you give us an idea of, you know, if this writing agreement with the CME were to be scrapped in the future, you know, is there going to be an impact on your current revenue stream? Is this something meaningful or is it something that is not really meaningful?
Well, I think that this is something that is not on the table, but the current revenues that we have had on both sides on the existing routing agreement have been very low compared to the potential that the revenues could have by having a partnership with someone like the CME.
So I think that the impact should be low in terms of economic terms. However, I think that the impact would be on the potential. So definitely something that at least talking from our side, and I think that it's going to be the same from them, we are both very interested in maintaining and improving and growing the existing partnership we have.
Okay. Thank you so much.
And I'm not showing any further questions in the queue. I would like to turn the call back to Ramon Güemes for any final remarks.
Okay, thank you very much to all for participating today, and we look forward to updating you again on the on our next call. Thank you very much. Have a great day. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This concludes the program, and you may all disconnect. Have a wonderful day, everyone.